Psalm 78, verse number 40. Said, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Then look with us, if you will, in Isaiah's writing, chapter 45, and we'll start with verse number 5. Said, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Amen. And ask the Lord if you'll help us just one more time, if you will. God, we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful for what you've done in the past. We're thankful for what we've heard already this day. We pray, God, that you'd reach down and anoint by thy holy power. Give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and most of all, anointing, God, that we could glorify the name of Jesus. And we praise you for that, God, in the name of Jesus. If there's anything in my life I would like to do, I've got a lot of aspirations in life, and you can ask my wife. Some of them's kind of crazy, and probably will never happen. But one of the greatest things, and the greatest thing I'd like to do, when it's all said and done, is to have glorified the name of Jesus in something that I've done. If I can have that testimony, I'll be pleased. But we read here in Psalm 78, it said they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. How many of you believe this afternoon, this evening, that God is all-powerful? How many believe he can do anything? He knows everything. He's everywhere at the same time. And we hear a lot of messages preach about the magnitude of God and how powerful he is. And we use a lot of scriptures and different things to try to show his majesty and his power. But I'm afraid in this day and hour, we have put a limitation on the Lord. Amen. You bear with me and we'll get somewhere here in a little bit if the Lord will help us. They said they limited God. And I believe one of the reasons or one of the ways we have limited the Lord is in his salvation, in his power to save. We've got in our minds, I believe, that there's certain few maybe that we prayed for many years, but it looks like they're just a lost cause. We call their name in prayer all the time. We go visit them. Maybe family members that we have, and we say, well, it looks like they're never going to be saved. But I wonder how many of us, if we could really realize those prayers that were prayed in our behalf, and how many people said, well, Brother Steve or Brother Nelson or something, they may be a lost cause. But God is not limited to what we're able to do. God has got power to reach down, didn't the psalmist David said, into the miry clay, down in the pit where we were, and pull us out of a life of sin, and set our feet on a solid rock, and establish our goings, and put a new song in our mouths. I'm thinking right now of an uncle I have, and he wouldn't mind me telling this, we're pretty close, but before he got saved, if you wanted to see a true blue hippie, then you could just look at him. I mean, he had it down, Brother Neil. If you wanted to see a perfect picture of a hippie, he was one. And I remember riding around with him when I was younger before I got saved, and boy, I just almost idolized him. I thought he was the greatest thing in the world. And we'd ride around in his pickup truck. Of course, he'd turn on that rock and roll music. He'd play his air guitar, you know. And boy, I thought I was just really doing something riding around. And everybody thought, well, he's just living a life full of sin. Looks like he's never going to turn. Looks like his life just went to a wreck and so forth. But one of these days, amen, he came to an altar of prayer. And God gloriously saved him. And he changed him. Then the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That old things pass away and all things become new. And if you'd look at him now and look at him like he was back then, it's a totally different picture. Why? I mean, because God's not limited to what we think. Amen. I've got another uncle right now that I'm thinking about. And it looks like he's so hardened against salvation. I don't even think he's been to church in his adult life. Even when his daddy passed away, he still wouldn't darken the door. And I think he looks like his heart is so hardened and things like this. And you mentioned going to church to him, and he ain't got time. He ain't got time. But I thought one little ray of hope that lets me know that God ain't limited to what we think. I mean, they was talking to him something about listening to one of his brothers preach on, and he said, I was trying to get him to come to church. He said, oh, I've heard him preach. And he said, well, he said, I listened to him on the radio. And come to find out, Brother Neil, when we thought he wasn't even paying attention at all, he's reaching in and turning him in on the radio, and he's hearing the gospel. It may very well be one of these days that he'll get in his car and he'll quit listening to the radio and he'll make his way down the highway down at Brother Larry's church and he'll walk in the door and say, I listened on the radio long enough, but something spoke to my heart and I need to come to the house of God and let God gloriously save his soul from a life of sin. I'm going to tell you, there is no soul, amen, that God's not able to save. Amen. The Bible said in Corinthians, he's talked about those that would not inherit the kingdom of God. Talked about fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. But he said, and such were some of you. But you're washed. I mean, but you're sanctified. But you're justified. Thank God that somebody didn't give up on me when I was in sin. But somebody prayed a prayer of faith. And God reached down right where I was at. And gave me an experience that Brother Paul was speaking of. And now I can say I'm saved. Amen. Amen. The experience of salvation. Amen. But I want to read to you a little bit more. And we'll get somewhere here. You bear with us. We're not going to preach long. Amen. We're not going to preach long. I mean, you help me, it won't seem like as long as it will be. Amen. You just get in and help us. I feel like the Lord wants to do something for us right here. I'm afraid too many times we have restricted God's ability, and especially in this day and hour, to heal. And I can preach this the way I can preach it because I've experienced it. Brother, I've got an experience right here. There was a woman one time came to Jesus, and the Bible said she had suffered many things of many physicians, but she's grown worse. I mean, she spent all she had on these things, but she's just getting worse off. But she heard about a man that had been doing some miracles. And she said, boy, I sure would like to find out where he's going to be around here. And kind of in our day and I wish I could know where he's running revival. I'd like to go hear him preach. And she found out where he's at, and she pressed through the crowd. And you know the story, how she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, somebody touch me. I feel virtues going out. Amen. And he perceived in his spirit these things. And he turned to the woman and said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. How many of you believe God's still able to divinely heal? I know we preach it all the time. I know it's in our church creeds. I know we anoint with oil and we pray prayers, but I'm talking about a definite experience. I'm talking about a place that we really get to, that we believe that God is not restricted to our sicknesses, that God's not restricted to what we have in our bodies and minds, but that God is able truly to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. Last year, in October, I had something that's come out of nowhere, just blindsided me. Amen. I started swelling up like a toad. Amen. Looked like the Michelin man. Gained about 50 pounds of fluid. I mean, brother, I was swole out. I'm still a little puffy from some of the medicine, but this ain't nothing to what I was. And finally, the doctors figured out my kidneys had some problems and so forth. So, well, one thing led to another. Ended up, my kidneys shut down. I mean, it just shut down. They wasn't working, Brother Paul. Now, how many of you know you need your kidneys? I mean, that's an essential organ, folks. You can't live without them. Well, they put me on that dialysis machine, Brother Neil. And I don't know about you, and I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but it's not a pleasant thing. And I'm not trying to get your sympathy. I'm telling you what the Lord's done. I mean, they set you down in a chair, and they make you comfortable as they can, and you got a tube running out your chest here, and they're pumping the blood out and pumping the blood in. There's a big old machine over there doing all that stuff. You sit there about 3 or 4 hours, and you go on your merry way. 3 times a week. Amen. I tell you, God designed them kidneys good. Amen. They had to build that big machine to do all that God does with just little old kidneys. But anyway, in the midst of my sickness, this is what I want to touch on right here, and I'm going to get on down the road, and I want you to help us. But in the midst of my sickness, amen, I begin to pray as naturally everybody would. I mean, when you get sick, I mean, you think you're spiritual, but you get on your prayer bones then. Amen. And they started telling me, well, you don't need to eat salt, and you can't eat meat like this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking about all the barbecue I'm going to miss, and all them boiled peanuts that I'm not going to be able to take care of. And I said, my, I've got to do something. I can't have that. And so I began to pray and seek the Lord, and God spoke to me. I said, God spoke to me. How many of you believe the Lord still speak to you? No, the heavens didn't open, and I didn't hear an audible voice shout, amen, as thunder. But God spoke to me. I mean, he gave me some scripture over in Isaiah. And he said, this is as the waters of Noah unto thee. As I swore, the waters of Noah will never come over the earth again. So have I sworn that I'll not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. God was simply saying, brother, this is temporary. And I stood at the church and I still had a catheter sticking out of my chest. And I was still taking dialysis treatments. But I remember a Sunday night I stood in the pulpit of the church. Amen. And I remember reading a psalm where it said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. Amen. We're glad. Amen. He said, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. I begin to read that verse of Scripture. And I'm going to tell you, if the third person of the Godhead has ever come down in the house of God, he come down in the midst. I mean, he saturated the service, Brother Neil. I'm talking about 30 minutes, probably at least. He just saturated on us, began to speak and manifest himself to us. And I told the church then, I said, it ain't always going to be like it is right now. I said, God's going to work a miracle in so many words. And you know what I can tell them now? God has worked a miracle. Brother Neil, I sat there 1 week and they did the test. And I tell you what's the truth. I brought this right here tonight just to show you. I got evidence, folks. I got some evidence right here. This is a report, amen, of the doctors. When they checked this thing here, amen, you just bear with me now. I'm just a backwoods preacher. Brother Lynn, he said, you know, he's got some of that southern vernacular. Well, I think they've accused me of being the hillbilly vernacular. So I may be more backwoods than he is. But I know the voice of the Lord. Amen. And they put this paper out. I asked that nurse, I said, well, what's the results on this thing? She said, well, the doctor said, we're going to do some tests here. We're going to check your blood before you go on the machine and see what the level is. Then we're going to check you when you come off. And then next time we're going to check it before you go on, see what your body's doing. Well, 1 week they checked it and it was 8. Now, I don't know how much you know about this. I didn't know nothing about it until I got sick. It ain't supposed to be near that high. I mean, around 1 is close. And maybe 2. So she said, it's 8. Well, in 1 week's time, Brother Neil, I felt the Lord doing something. And they started talking about those tests. They come in there and they checked it out. I said, well, what's the verdict, nurse? She said, let me go get your report. She come out there, she's smiling. I said, tell me. She said, well, we checked it. Last week it was 8.4. Yeah. She said, we checked it after we got done with the treatment, after that machine got done pumping your blood out and all that stuff. She said, it was 1.4. I said, well, what is it now? Yeah. She said, well, now it's 2.5. Just almost normal.
All right.
You know what I said? I said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Listen, folks, I ain't talking about something that happened a long time ago. I'm talking about something that is current events. You know what? I believe when God said he would do it, Brother Byron, I believe that God would do it. I did not restrict him to what the doctor said. You know what the doctor said when it's all said and done? They said, this is a miracle. They said, this is rare. This thing just don't happen like this all the time. But I'm here to tell you, I'm serving a God, amen, that is able to do all things. He's not restricted to time and space. He's not restricted to what we believe, what we think, but he's got all power. I remember in the prophet one time, he went out and he sent his servant out there and he saw the host that was gathered around. And his servant got concerned. He said, oh my, I mean, this ain't looking good for us. And Brother Elisha, just in my own words, he said, Lord, please open his eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
He can see this thing.
Yeah, let him see this. See,
and he opened his eyes, and he saw a host, a heavenly host, and chariots of fire. He said, there's more for us than there are for them. And I wish we could get in our minds today. Amen. Brother Lynn's already said it this morning. If God be for us, who can be against us?
And if he be spared not his own son, but delivered us up for him all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Don't restrict God. Hey man, I'm thinking one time my son was born. Of course, everybody knows he's born very early. Things started happening at the house, and we knew we had to rush to the hospital. I jumped in that black Dodge Durango, and buddy, I floorboarded it. I mean, I didn't hold the horses back. I turned in the hospital, and I mean, I stomped it to the floor. And that Dodge vehicle, it ain't got no red line on the RPM. And I stomped that thing, and it just sat there and started rocking. And my wife, she was cognizant enough. She said, "Let off the gas." Well, I backed off of it. What it is, it had a rev limiter. And when I stomped that thing to the floor, it just sat there and went up and down, brother. We wasn't going nowhere hardly. She said, "Let off the gas." I let off the gas. We got to the emergency room. Everything went all right. What I'm simply saying is that vehicle couldn't take but so much. And I'm afraid we've got God confined down. Well, God's able to heal a headache. God's able to touch my arthritis. But now this person's got terminal cancer. And they just say they ain't no hope for them. Hey, look, folks, Lazarus was dead. And been dead for 4 days. And stinking dead. And Jesus said, "Come forth." And they didn't have no other option but to come forth. And I wish we could realize if we could just get God to say, "I'll do the work," amen, we could come out of this situation that we're in. We could be victorious again if we'd quit limiting what God's able to do, amen. He's not restricted. He's not restricted. Amen, I wish my voice would hold out just a minute. I'm almost done. Amen. They limited the Holy One of Israel. It wasn't too many days before then. They just come through the Red Sea. They seen Pharaoh's army drown. Miriam had got out the tambourine and started dancing around. She said, "The Lord and his rider, he's cast in the sea. God's gave us a great deliverance." Amen. It's easy sometimes to shout when we can't meet. It's easy to shout when we're in the middle of the revival. It's easy to trust God when everything's going good. Amen. But when a doctor looks you straight in the face and says it ain't looking good for you, the devil immediately jumps on your shoulder and says, "Where's God at now?" Amen. Same place he always has been. Not one time has he ever left us. Not one time has he ever forsaken us. Amen. He never has and he never will. Amen. But we have limited the Lord God, I'm afraid. Amen. Restrained him. I'm thinking a lot of times, and I don't know what your problem is today, but you've got some. Everybody does. We got physical problems, spiritual problems. Somebody's talking about the economic problems today. All these different things, problems, problems, problems. But if you can really get a look at who God really is. He said, "I am God, and there is none else." There is nobody else. He said, "The idols of the heathen, silver and gold, they're the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not." He said, "They have hands, but they handle not. Feet, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat." He said, "They that make them are likened to them. So is everyone that trusteth in them." But the psalmist said, "Trust in the Lord, O house of Israel. He is their help and their shield." Amen. David said, amen, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." He said, "All nations can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them." What's your problem today? Amen. I just believe, amen, I just believe it like this right here. If we take those restraints off, you know, I've always wanted to go out west. And I ain't found nobody really can confirm this or not, but I have heard. It takes highways out there, Brother Steve, that as long as you ain't driving plumb crazy, but you can just mash it on the floor and go. Now, you got an 85 like that, the state patrol will stop you. They have me. I know they will. I'll be honest with you, that's probably one of them little faults that I have, Brother Neil. I kind of like to mash the gas. I don't like it when it says speed limit 70. Well, who cares about going 70 when you go 90? Yeah. My theory is, as long as you're driving safe and ain't acting crazy, what difference does it make? But let's see now. Let's just hold on a minute. But anyway, well, I'd like to go out west. Well, I didn't have that condemnation in my mind while I was rolling down a highway at 90 miles an hour. I could have peace in my mind, though. This ain't against the law. Amen? But you see, a lot of people in this day and hour, we get to the church house and we put up a sign. We can go this far. That's all we've ever seen. It's already been preached in this meeting that we need the power of God to move like it has in the past. We want to see a move of God like we have seen in the past. Well, I'm going to tell you how you do that. You take the sign down. Take it down. No limits. No restraints. Amen. He told Peter, he said, go with him men doubting nothing. I sent you. You don't worry about the details of this thing. You just trust in me. I'm able to do all these things. And we could really see God like Isaiah saw him, high and lifted up with his train filling the temple. We could see God in the Shekinah glory that he really has and know that God's able to do all things. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to heal all manner of sicknesses. He's able to deliver from any situation that you're in.
Praise God.
The God that I serve is able. I'm sure most of you heard, I'm closing right here in just a minute. I'm sure most of you heard Brother Don Rich and his testimony of the old Indian woman down in the islands there. I mean, it was so sick and about to die. And all them witch doctors couldn't do nothing for her. But Brother Don come in. He said, I want you to pray for my wife. See if your God can do this. Brother Don said, well, get them witch doctors out of here. And they kind of, after a little while, they finally left. And in the process of his conversation, I may not tell it just exactly like it is, but the main points is there. He began to talk to that woman. And in the process of their conversation, he said something about the Son of God.
Yeah.
And she said, you mean your God has got a son?
Yeah.
He said, yes, he does. And his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. If I remember right, he reached in there to get the oil. He said, do you believe God can heal you? Amen. She said, I believe. And she rolled out of the hammock, healed by the power of God. I'm talking about somebody down in a heathen country that didn't know God had a son. But when she heard that old story, she believed that God could do it. And here we are that have heard it all of our life. And for some reason or another, it still has not penetrated our minds that God really can do it. I believe we know that he can. But I'm afraid sometimes we don't believe that he will. Let me close with this point right here. There was a man one time, and Jesus came to him. I think he was sick of palsy, if I remember right. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. You know what Jesus said? He said, I will. I will. That's all it took. And he was restored. If you could just get God to say, I will. I will. Did not he tell Isaiah, I will work and who shall let it? The only restriction God has is us. Amen. You want to see a powerhouse meeting? Well, take the speed limit sign down and let God move like he wants to. Amen. When God speaks in your heart and you're sitting around trying to figure out, well, is this me or is this the Lord? Well, what's it going to hurt to get up and obey God and just see what happens? I've seen my daddy sometime, Brother Neil. He just gathers his precious legs up. He just got switched his shout. Didn't he say dance for joy? So you're getting charismatic. No, sir. I'm trying to uplift the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet this afternoon, this evening. I don't know what your problems are. I've got problems. Amen. I've got some more physical problems. I got some spiritual needs, I'll be honest with you. Just because I'm a man of God and a preacher don't mean I don't face the devil every day of my life. And anybody that tells you they don't ain't being truthful with you. But I have come to realize over the past year especially, why don't you take God at his word? You know, my little boy thinks I can do just about anything. He really does. He don't know that Daddy ain't Superman. He ain't realized that yet. In his mind, I can do anything. I mean, he'll go fly an airplane with me and not even be scared. That's something a lot of people won't do. Brother Neil? Okay, there you are. But my son, I put that seat in there. I strapped him in there. Put them headset on him. Well, he is so confident in my abilities, Brother Steve, he just went off to sleep. Chewing on a Tootsie Roll. Why? Because he trusts me. Every need he's ever had, he said, Daddy, I need this, I need that. And you know what? There you go. There it is. What else you need? Name something else. Amen. Tug on your britches, Daddy, I need this. Well, fine, son. All right, then. He knows I can do it. He thinks I can. And are we not the children of Almighty God? Don't we call him our Heavenly Father? And didn't Jesus say, your Heavenly Father knoweth the things that you have need of even before you ask him? Ain't that what he said? I mean, that's just in the Bible there. That's just right there. That's just simple stuff. But that simple stuff, I'm afraid, is what we're missing. That's why we call it a childlike faith. Because they're not limiting them parents. They're not looking through eyes, I mean, of all these circumstances. They're just saying, that's mama, that's daddy. They can do anything. And I want to tell you, God can do anything. 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 Brother Stevie Coombs was talking to me not too long after the morning service. And he said his wife was having some problems. And I believe he'll be all right if I tell this for him. And he said they thought she was having some physical problems. Even when it's the forest to take her gallbladder out, I believe it was, still having problems. But he said they went to revival one night. Brother Head was preaching over at Nicholson. And he said they had already kind of determined this thing was a spiritual oppression. The devil was just using this thing. And he said another brother come up and he whispered in his ear. He said, brother, I perceive that your wife's affliction is spiritual. He said, well, we feel the same way. In the process of that service, I guess the Lord began to move. I wasn't there. But he said he heard somebody, and I'm going to use my own terminology here, let out a war whoop. And he looked back. It was his wife. And he said, he got an experience, brother. He said, from that service, God delivered. And my brother Stevie's back there. He's back there in the back. Amen. Turn around and look at him. Wave at him. Amen. He'll tell you. Amen. The Lord done that. Why? Because he can. Because he can. I mean, there's some stuff I just like to do because I can. And God just likes to because he can. Amen. He gets pleasure in these things. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Brother Neil, I feel religious. Hallelujah. I almost could shout. If I had a tambourine, I might beat it a little bit and say the horse and his rider, he's cast into the sea. Amen. Somebody get us a good song right here this afternoon. Amen. It don't make no difference who sings. Just somebody get us a song. Amen. Why don't you trust God? We heard the brother preach this morning, fret not thyself. Trust also in the Lord and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Amen. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he'll give the desires of thine heart. I mean, all these scriptures you can name. And we quote them all the time. But do you really believe them? There's a lot of things the teachers told me in school I had to take in blind faith. When they told me the sum of the legs of the squares of a right triangle equals the hypotenuse squared, well, I said, buddy, you smarter than I am. I'll take your word for that. I mean, it works on paper. It does. Praise the Lord. And there's some things you ain't never going to figure out how God done it. You'll never figure out how God done it. But it's just he done it. I don't know how he started them kidneys up again. I mean, I don't know what he done.
That's right.
All I know is one time they wasn't working and now they are. That man that was blind, he said, hey, look, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I tell you one thing, I was blind and now I can see. I was lost.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. My God.
Yes, sir.
My God.
Thank God.
I can't explain it.
No.
but I sure do love it.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Amen. What's you need today? What is you need? Amen. I don't know how my wife cooks cakes like she does, but I eat the same cake somebody else cooked. And I tell my wife, I said, well, there's something I just didn't do. There wasn't as moist as yours. Right? I tell you what's the truth. She can tell me too. I fix that barbecue chicken, my secret recipe.
Yeah.
And she eats that stuff. She says, boy, you did good on that. You did good on that. Lady asked me the other day, she said, well, how did you fix that chicken? I said, I'd have to sit down and write that down. I really didn't want to tell her. She'll know my secret. But God's not that way. He wants to show His power. He wants to manifest Himself. You know what really pleased Him? It's for, and I've heard it preached about, talked about all my life. It's for that blue haze that they've talked about in the olden day just to come settle in amongst us. Brother Neil said he saw it. I never have. But Brother Neil, I believe what you're telling me. I believe it. Amen. How'd you like to see that again? Will you take that restriction off? We're going to have night service here in a little while. Brother Gentry's going to preach. And I don't think he'd mind me telling this. I was talking to him this afternoon. He said, I preached a lot of places. He said, and I don't, did you say every time or most of the time? He said he has to preach every night. He wants somebody to shout him down. He wants somebody to shout him down. Now you got the evangelist requesting that the presence of God come in such a way that He shouted down. And I'm telling you that if you take the restrictions off, that'll happen. It'll happen. Amen. I mean, each one that would. If you believe God's able to do anything and everything that you need, won't you come around the altar? Won't you just ask Him? Have you tried just asking Him?